Last week in kids' church, we made Play-Doh animals to remind ourselves that God made all the animals. Now, when we made the Play-Doh animals, we shaped them out of the dough. Were they alive, those snails and sharks and possibly stegosauruses? I couldn't quite tell. Were they alive? Could we have made them alive? Could we breathe into them and make them alive? Because on the sixth day, God made us and the animals alive. And when we look in Genesis 2, when God made Adam out of clay, shaped him, he then breathed into Adam and made him alive. Here is a picture of a CPR dummy. He's got no arms and no legs. I like to call him Bob. He breathes in and out like a person. He looks pretty close to a person. Can we make Bob alive by breathing into him? No, of course we can't. Bob is a training dummy. Sometimes we can keep people alive when they're dying by breathing into their lungs for them, because breath is life. If you don't breathe, you die. If we can start you breathing again, you may yet live. So how dead does something need to be so that we can't save it? It's not long, is it? It's not long. It's a few minutes. That's why ambulances go rushing down the road to get to the person, to get them breathing again, to make sure that they hold on to life. Now, the question that Ezekiel gets asked in today's reading is, how dead does something need to be so that God can't save it? Ezekiel is asked that question in a vision. Have a look in your Bibles, Ezekiel chapter 37, page 1308. Ezekiel uses the language of a vision. He says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones." And the thing about these bones that we see in verse 2 is that as Ezekiel wanders around, there are lots of dead people. There are a great many bones, and they are very dry bones. Lots of dead people, and they're very dead. And God asks Ezekiel, "Son of man, can these bones live?" From our point of view, is there any hope for saving these patients? No, they're dead. They're not just dead, they've decayed. They're past decay. The birds and the wild animals have scattered the bones all over the valley. They have dried right out. They have been UV irradiated by the sun, so they're probably almost sterile. And Ezekiel gives a smart answer. "O sovereign Lord, you know." And God promises a miracle in verses 4 and 5. "Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. Make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.'" So Ezekiel does as he's told. He prophesies. He repeats this promise to the bones. And rather than feeling silly that he's talking to dry bones, his voice is almost drowned out by the rattling and clacking of bones fitting together. All of that order being brought out of chaos, all that recreation, tendons and flesh and skin is growing on the bones and they become whole bodies again, just by Ezekiel saying the promises of God. The word of the Lord is powerful, but they're still dead bodies. Why are they still dead bodies? Because I looked, verse 8, "But there was no breath in them." They don't have the spirit in them. Their spirit, their breath is dead and gone. In Ezekiel's language, they use the same word to talk about breath and spirit and wind. And so God tells Ezekiel to call to the four winds. Why four winds? Well, the four winds are north and south and east and west, aren't they? Call to the four winds, call to the breath that is all through the world, call to the spirit that has given life to all of creation, bring the breath of life breathe into these slain so that they may live. And so Ezekiel again says, I prophesied as he commanded me. And breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. So where there was weakness, now there is strength. Where there was chaos and disorder, there is beauty and life. So to sum up, the Holy Spirit gives life. He's the God who gave the world life back in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Nothing can make him unable to give life. His life is stronger than death. Now, this is a vision. And Ezekiel is told the meaning of the vision in verse 11. God says to him, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. In the Valley of Dry Bones, there were a lot of bodies, very dead, very dry. That's our world. There's lots of death and suffering, and it's very bad. But God showed Ezekiel, and he repeats it to us, that nothing can make the Holy Spirit unable to give life, because his life is stronger than death. And so God promised through Ezekiel, God told Ezekiel, prophesy, verse 12, therefore prophesy, say to the people of Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord says, O my people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. See, God promises that he will bring his people back, not just back to the land, but back to life. And not just back to life, but back to the life that they always should have had, back to being God's people. You will know I'm the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I'll put my spirit in you. You'll know that I have spoken and that I have done it. You'll be my people again. Because, see, the Holy Spirit gives life. He gave life to the world. He gave life to us at creation. And though we throw that away, though we cut ourselves off from the source of life, still God promises new life for his people. A life that suits us because it's the life we were created to have. Now, there is a pattern in this chapter of Ezekiel. Ezekiel is told to prophesy, and then he prophesies, and the thing he prophesies comes true. Did you notice that? God prophesied to these people. And so in verse 7, Ezekiel prophesied as he was commanded, and as he was doing it, God did the thing he promised. And then again in verse 9, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. Verse 10, so I prophesied, and breath entered them. God promises, Ezekiel pronounces the promise, and God delivers. But then it happens a third time. God says, promise the people of Israel that I'm going to open up their graves and bring them back to life and bring them back to the land and bring them back to me. Promise them, Ezekiel. And here it is in our Bible, God promising us that he will do this. But what we don't have is a record of the people of Israel coming up out of their graves. Can anyone think of a time when someone was dead, but God made them alive? What was the great moment that signaled that God has done it, that the Lord had spoken? Yes, it's Jesus' resurrection. The Holy Spirit is the God who raised Jesus from the dead because nothing can make him unable to give life. You can brutalize the Son of God. You can hang him on a cross. You can lay him in a tomb and roll a stone over, put on a seal and add a Roman guard. Nothing can stop God from giving life. And in Romans chapter 8, Paul talks about Christians as people who have God's Spirit in us. And he says that we are looking forward to something. verse 11 of Romans chapter 8, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. So the resurrection that we believe in isn't just something that happened back then to Jesus Christ. It is something that will happen in the future for all of us. Coming alive from being dead, no matter what, is God's promise to all of us who believe in Jesus. The Holy Spirit gives life. Nothing can make him unable to give life. If Jesus Christ is in us, then even though our bodies are perishing, the Holy Spirit will make us alive. So we want to start living that new life now. That life that is the one we were always created to have. That life that suits us. Being God's people, living in God's world, living God's life that he gives us. Our family went to Narrabri in the holidays, September holidays last year. We drove out to Bourke and then back to Narrabri, drove along the river that Narrabri is on, and it's just dried up waterholes. Patches of green stagnant water, great stretches of sandy riverbed. The whole country is dry. The whole country is dying, and it feels like, the thing about a drought is that it feels like it will never rain again. Everything's just too dry. You can't see where could water possibly come from? We got to Narrabri, and the afternoon we arrived, there was a rainstorm. And 15 millimetres fell in about half an hour. And suddenly there was mud everywhere. But then, you know, the wind sprang up, the clouds passed away, and dried out. The next morning you could not really see that it had rained very much the day before. And then that afternoon it rained again, 11 millimetres. But it still didn't feel like it was ever going to rain. I sometimes think that the things that I do wrong, the things that are wrong with me, feel like they will never change. They're like dry old bones. I can huff and puff, but I can't breathe life into them. All of us have problems that we can't fix. All of us have things that God wants for us that we're not strong enough to reach for. But God is strong enough. God can change us. God can put new life into us. And so when we are like the whole house of Israel, we say our bones are dried up, our hope is gone, we're cut off. God says, don't lose hope. Nothing can make me unable to give life. What do I mean by not losing hope? Well, hope is when we can find something good in a bad situation. No situation can make the Holy Spirit unable to bring you back to life. We still have the hope of resurrection. Sometimes that will look like surprising growth, grace in hard places, surprising change. So God says, don't lose hope. Ask me to breathe life into your life. Sometimes it will look like faithfully enduring trials like Jesus. Choosing the way of life, choosing the way of the Spirit, choosing the new life that God has chosen, not choosing to act out of fear, but keeping our hope. So ask God and don't lose hope. Nothing can make the Holy Spirit unable to give us life.